was with a former Turkish client over two payments for $80,000 that Michael Flynn's firm sent back to its client. The disagreement highlights inconsistencies in some of the statements Michael Flynn has made in the past. More at townhall.com.
A true tribute band comprised of the best musicians and performers specializing in a complete Beach Boys concert production. Join us Friday, May 19th at 7:30 p.m. as Wind River Resort and Casino welcomes Catch a Wave, the Beach Boys show, live in the event center. The sounds of surf, sun, and classic cars sets the backdrop for this recreation of the 1960s Beach Boys with Catch a Wave. With vocal harmony beyond belief, Catch a Wave is guaranteed to bring audiences the most precise experience of the Beach Boys, sporting authentic details just as you remember. Remarkable harmonics evoking that surf pop sound. A must-see show. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WindRiver.com. Tickets are just $12.50 each or a table of 10 for $100. Don't miss your chance to see Catch a Wave, the Beach Boys show in concert at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center Friday, May 19th. A good time will be had by all. For details, call 1-800-280-UWIN or log on to WindRiver.com. Must be 21 to attend. Concerts are better at the River.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North Strait. It's Wednesday, May 10th. It's not Thursday. And this is Trish Clark. Carl is out on assignment, and so I'm just in here. We have no idea where we're going this morning, but we're here. And so if you'd like to join us, you can jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give me a call at 605-4567. It's 55 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 86, low of 57. On Thursday, it's going to start cooling down. We're going to get a high of 71 and a low of 48. On Friday, a high of 69 and a low of 46. And that's going to continue kind of through the weekend and into next week with a chance of showers Friday night, Saturday, maybe 20%. Not anything we're going to get too worried about, but I'm okay with the cooling trend. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much. Cooler morning today. And, of course, we're going to have a cooler trend next several days and maybe even some rain next week, so we're not done with it yet.
Which, and that's okay.
I'm in no hurry for 110.
Exactly. What are the lake levels looking like?
Actually, Shasta Lake remains 6 feet from the top last we checked.
Wow. Okay. So that's good. Good. Looking good for the summer season and the farmers and everybody involved. So I'm joined here in the studio by the Anderson Fire Protection District Chief, Rick Weigel. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Trish.
So, the short timer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rick has been with the Anderson Fire Protection District for about 2.5 years now?
A little longer than that. About 2 years and 9 months.
Okay.
Not counting the days, but...
It's been a tumultuous thing. We kind of had some issues with the fire department when Chief Weigel came on board. For the record, I want people to know that he's done a miraculous job turning us around, starting our budget head in the right direction, got us in some ways to solve some issues. Our equipment's updated and great, and that's what we're kind of going to talk about this morning. I set a few things straight. Our delight and the thing we get the most question about is the ladder truck in the city of Anderson.
Yes, that's...
Tell us how we got there with that.
Well, we do have a ladder truck, and it's a 75-foot Quint. It's actually a combination of an engine and a ladder. So it fulfills that function of an engine company with the hose, the water, and the pump, and it also fulfills that capability of a truck company, which is the cabinets, room for extrication equipment and heavy rescue stuff, and then the aerial device, which is above. So a 75-foot aluminum ladder. How we got that was kind of interesting. When I first came in here in 2014, when I was going through some of the budget stuff, I had noticed that we had a $50,000 grant from the Wind River Tribe. And that was specifically dedicated to a ladder or truck company. And so we looked at that, and we had about $200,000 saved up from the last 20 years for a ladder truck or a truck company. And
money that was specifically earmarked and couldn't be used for anything else.
Right, it was in a restricted fund. And,
right.
And so with the going rate of a Quint or a truck company modern piece of apparatus like that is anywhere from 800 to $1.5 million. And so I met with the board and told them that there's no way we're ever going to be able to save enough money to buy a truck company, so we need to take this money and put it somewhere else, return the $50,000 grant, which had been in there for 7 or 8 years, and really with that money sitting there and underwritten by a grant, I just didn't think that it was fair to the community and to the folks that had donated that to keep that money in that account. So we made the decision to either return it or buy a ladder truck. And so as I did some exploration, I met with some representatives from Pierce. We spec'd out a ladder truck, and it came to just right around $800,000. And we were actually able to get a discount on that of about, $30,000 or $40,000 by purchasing it before a certain date, before their price increases. We also worked a deal with Oshkosh, which owns Pierce Manufacturing. And through Oshkosh, we were able to give them the $50,000 grant money and $100,000 of the money that had been directed and restricted for a truck company. We were able to direct that $150,000 to Oshkosh as a down payment, and they underwrit the complete price of it for the purchase price. And when it was finished, it was delivered to us, and we are liable for 12 years for a one payment a year of $59,000, which does not impact our budget, doesn't come out of our budget. It comes from our impact fees or our parcel fees that actually go into a restricted account. There's about $82,000 to $85,000 a year that go into that account, and about 80% of that is directed right to the truck company or ladder company fund. So by taking that money out each year, the $59,000, and make that payment, it never touches our budget, never impacts our budget. It's money that we can't put into our general fund, and it makes our payment to Oshkosh every year. So in 12 years, that vehicle will be paid off, and it'll be ours. We'll own it.
Yeah, and I really wanted to go through that because I know there's a lot of speculation because we complain a lot about the fact that our budget is in trouble and has been for a few years. We've been getting into our reserves. And so then the question goes, okay, but your budget's in trouble. And then you turn around and buy a big expensive ladder truck. That doesn't make any sense. But it does when you look at the way we accomplished it and the fact that it's not impacting.
Right.
And that's the way those refunds are collected. The $20 parcel fee, it specifically says that 80% of it has to go towards the truck. So we were kind of between a rock and a hard place and never had followed through on that. That's a great accomplishment because
it was we were pretty proud of that. And it's a beautiful piece of equipment that will service the community and the citizens of Anderson and the surrounding communities for many, many years. And if you saw the fire in Redina last week or 2 weeks ago, you can see the impact that we've had even in our neighbors.
I have a question.
Okay.
Unlike the city of Reading, the Anderson Fire Protection District is not a city entity. It is a district.
Right.
What is your area of responsibility?
Well, our area of responsibility, first of all, you are right. We're a special district, and we're not funded or given any monetary money from the city of Anderson.
Do you have a contract with them?
No.
You do not?
No. We have no contract. We collect those funds for the citizens that are in the fire district, which includes the city of Anderson. So our responsibility is the city of Anderson and a small area surrounding the city of Anderson. The district is about 7.5 square miles.
So if the city hall catches fire, are they on their own?
No. We'll
just send him a bill.
So back to the ladder truck.
We're a special district.
Yeah.
It's overlaying districts, and we're responsible for the fire service in the city of Anderson.
And to answer that question a little farther, there are many different makeups of cities that don't have their own fire departments. There are fire authorities. They contract. They're in the situation like we're in. So there's many different scenarios out there throughout the state of California, and you know it just takes somebody with a vision and takes a group of people to sit down and figure out how do we provide the best level of protection for the citizens, and do we put a wall up around our little area and say this is just our area, or do we bust down those walls and begin to partner with the other communities around us to provide the highest level of care and service to the entire community and not just to little branches of the community.
Well, I do know from personal experience, because I have friends in the industry in the business, if you will, that interagency mutual aid, North State is pretty much a model for that sort of thing.
Yeah, we have good mutual aid and enhanced mutual aid with all of our surrounding partners and Cal Fire and the City of Redding. And, I think what it takes is for people to realize that even today, no matter how big you are, you can't survive and handle and do all of the things that you're required to do with just your own agency. It takes networking. It takes working together. It takes covering each other. And so that's really how that works. And it is a good model up here in the North State.
Okay, we're going to take a minute and pay a few bills with these short messages, and then we'll be right back.
Hey, this portion of the program, though, Trish, brought to you by your good friend and partner in crime and almost a sisterly name, Sharon Clark and her staff there at Home Helpers. They are an in-home care agency that's more than that. They're a extended family when family can't be there. Locally owned, trusted provider of quality, compassionate in-home care, customizing home care solutions to your unique situation for an affordable solution that keeps your loved one where they are happiest in their home. It is 717 on KCNR 1460. More Free Fire Radio after the messages.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. Don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at orchardnutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
After we inspected a vehicle with a driving problem, I called the insurance company, Don Steck, for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The insurance adjuster seemed skeptical because the vehicle had recently been repaired, so I invited him to inspect it. The first area was only 1/8 inch off, as was the second. He said, "I don't see a problem. Each area is within tolerance." "Tolerance is accumulative," I said. "This car is 1/4 inch short on one side, and that will amplify over the length of the car. When measured the full length, the wheels will not align. Accumulative damage is often not understood." He said he would check with the shop to do the repair. He called later and said, "They are frustrated, because no matter how perfect they make it, Coachmaster can always make it better." I replied, "If we can make it better, it was not perfect." Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
time for a wardrobe update? Check in with the ladies of Dandelion. They can help you with all of your fashion needs, from designer jewelry to the latest jeans. They have you covered head to toe. Stop in for a personal touch with fabulous stylists who greet you at the door. Dandelion Boutique in the heart of downtown Reading, 1322 Pine Street, or give them a call, 247-1292. That's Dandelion, unique gifts and clothing.
Mark, I can't wait for this month's second Tuesday dinner at Peter Chu's Sky Room. It's a great Chinese restaurant, and I am obsessed with their cashew chicken.
I know what you mean. I love the variety of options, so I always order something new. Peter Chu's offers many different options, including Mandarin, Szechuan, and Hunan cuisine. Please join us on Tuesday, June 13th from 5 to 9 p.m. at Peter Chu's on Airport Drive, as they graciously donate a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane to help care for the animals and work toward placing them in forever homes.
It's all about good food, good friends, and helping the animals.
And now, back to our show.
...720, this portion of Free Fire Radio brought to you by BNT Satellite. Don't call the 800 number. Summer being on its way, BNT Satellite makes TV easy for your boat, your RV, or even your treehouse. It's not a corporate call center. They are the local guys. Ash, listen to you. 241-DISH. That's 241-3474.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio. It's not Thursday, but this is Trish Clark. You can jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. I'm having a bit of a chat here this morning with the departing Anderson Fire Protection District, Rick Weigel. The board took action last night. Chief Weigel is moving on, and we're sorry to hear that, but he had an opportunity, just couldn't turn down. Part of the issues we have up here in the North State is some of our top people don't make as much money as they do in other departments, and somebody just flat out bit us, I think. But we're pleased that we have promoted as interim chief, Battalion Chief Steve Lowe. And I think he's going to do a great job for us, and so we're looking forward to that. But I thought maybe it would be good to have the chief in this morning and just kind of talk about his perspective of Anderson and Shasta County and where we're going from here.
You know, Trish, this is a kind of a unique area. It is coming from some of the different areas that I've worked at. There's a lot of challenges up here. There's a lot of fire. There's a lot of interface. There's a lot of, a lot of activity for a smaller community and a small city. And you know, you look at a city the size of Anderson, 9,000, 10,000 people, and then the surrounding fire district. So we're up to, maybe 12, 15,000 people total. It's a challenge to answer the service, the request for service with one engine company and two folks on an engine, three during the day. We've been able to hire back a temporary guy and fill a third position on the fire truck, and so being a small community, we are way below the standards for what are recommended for a community that size to provide service. And so it is, there are some challenges here, but I think that there's some very good people, some very good agencies working together. My goal was to come in and develop relationships and partnerships so we could help each other out. We see that with some of the smaller communities, with Cottonwood and being able to take our ladder and share our ladder with the city of Reading and some things like that, and it just, it's been a great experience. I mean, I've learned a lot here and met some great people, and it's going to be hard to go. I'm going to miss it.
I think that the relationships that you've built, we had some issues in the city of Anderson or with the Anderson Fire Protection District when we hired you. I was on the hiring panel that interviewed you, and we unanimously chose to hire you to fill a position. We did have some challenges with our budget, with the personnel, with the department in general, and how we were responding to the community. I'm sure that the citizens have noticed that there's so many things that have changed about our department in the 2 years and 9 months that you've been here. We're well on our way to being a good neighbor to the rest of the departments, and someone who now I think that the other departments are anxious and for us to arrive at on scene and feel it, that we're competent to be a good partner with them and play our part and our role in giving the citizens a good service.
Yeah, it takes 7 to 10 years to change a culture in the fire service. And
so why are you leaving?
We can address that in a minute, but we've had an incredible response with changing the culture at Anderson. When I came in there, you're right, there were several challenges. There were things that hadn't been followed up on. There were mandatory things on the prevention side that hadn't been done in years and audits that hadn't been done in years and things that without, you know, pointing the finger at anybody, there was a lot of issues for a new fire chief coming in that wanted to hit the ground running and get into the operations and some of those kinds of things. And, you know, we had a volunteer issue where we had volunteers that hadn't been through physical or medical backgrounds. We had volunteers that hadn't been through live scans, background checks. So we're allowing these people. They had a great heart. Most of them were really good people, but we're allowing people to go into your homes without a live scan background, without finding out if they have a criminal history. And then we found out that all but two of our volunteers couldn't pass the backgrounds. And they couldn't get through the medical. And so that put the district at risk. And so we had to cancel the volunteer program at that point. We had two volunteers left. And we were getting ready to do a news story on one of them and come to find out that, you know, he was being investigated for stealing weapons from somebody's home. And so we had to let him go. And then we had another one. Our last volunteer was – we get a phone call from law enforcement agency that he's been investigated for, you know, assault with a deadly weapon on domestic. And so that was the beginning of the end of our volunteer program. And so we went to a reserve type program where we took the folks that were laid off from Cal Fire and other departments during the wintertime, brought them on. And we had a pretty good response at first, but it's just one of those things that it's been real hard to maintain not having any money. When I came in, we were $400,000 in the hole for a couple of years before I got there.
Exactly, which was going out of the reserves every year.
So by the third year, that was $1.2 million that was coming out, and it was quickly depleting those funds. And I basically, you know, again, as a new fire chief coming in, I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done, you know?
And how do I get out of here? Took him 2 years and 9 months, and now he's sorry he's leaving.
we've worked extremely hard for the almost 3 years, and today our budget is for the first time is in the black. Not by much, but it's in the black. And we're still providing a service. I think there were some people that thought that, I really do, that I think there were some people that thought that the Anderson Fire Protection District was going to fail. I, at one point, thought it was going to fail also. I would wake up at night, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and wander around my house and try to think, how am I going to save this? I don't know how to save this. How do you get money out of thin air, you know? Uh-huh. So we had some tremendous challenges, probably some of the most challenging times of my entire fire career of anywhere I've ever worked has been here. But some of the most rewarding things have happened here also. Watching the people develop, we've dehired a few people. A few people have retired, and so we're actually almost a brand new department. And the folks that have remained have bought into this direction, this new personality of the fire district,
professionalism is the key.
Exactly. It's, you know, and I, what I brought in when I came here was that we may be a small department, but it doesn't mean that we can't be excellent at what we do. That there's no difference from the citizens of Redding or the citizens that live out in the county or the citizens that live in Anderson. They all deserve the same level of service. And you shouldn't get a higher level of service because you move into somebody else's jurisdiction. We should be united as a community up here to provide the highest level of service. And the next goal that I had was to actually try to fund paramedics on Engine 46 or Ladder 46 to where we would have, again, the highest level of care, pre-hospital care, that's available is paramedics, unless you've got a PA, which there are some departments that are looking at going to a PA system where they actually take a paramedic and put them through the physician's assistant training, mm-hmm. and they send them out on a vehicle where they can actually prescribe medications, do checkups, and do everything that people could be doing in a doctor's office. But that's a whole other level, partnering with insurance companies and hospitals to try to keep the ERs empty.
So we're going to take a break right before we go further and get some messages, and we'll be back in just a moment.
And this portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy and his team of professional NRA instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time, NFI will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents to take a basic CCW course. Register online at readingccw.com or call NFI at 999-1822.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Taking America back is more than merely voting for the right candidate and expecting him alone to turn a morally bankrupt country around. What made and will continue to make America great is a country who allows God his rightful place. Without godly Christian values, there's no absolute standard for our courts to judge by, and no standard to hold our politicians accountable. People must experience a change of heart that only comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at trueliferedding.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
And welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North Strait. This is Free Fire Radio. It's Trish Clark this morning, and I've been visiting with Chief Rick Weigel from the Anderson Fire Protection District. And we're now joined in the studio by Scott Seaton from the North State Symphony Association.
Hence the bumper music.
And Bob was busy over there trying to get just exactly the right music to introduce Scott.
Name a Rolling Stones tune and I'm your guy. You know.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Trish. How are you?
I'm well. And you've got something great coming up this weekend.
Yes. This weekend is the North State Symphony's big season finale concert. So it's a huge concert, and it starts out with a young artist competition winner, a young pianist by the name of Diego Bustamante, playing some Mozart for us. And that little piece is what I call the salad or the appetizer to the gigantic steak you're going to hear on the second half of the concert. And it really is, like, it might as well be an entire cow because it's a big piece of meat. And this symphony was written in the early, 20th century, and really it's a journey through life. The listener will experience every single emotion packed in a compact musical event. So it's going to be quite a fun time this weekend in the Cascade.
And we're so lucky to have the Cascade Theater here. It offers so many different venues and so many different types of entertainment to us up here in the North State.
Oh, yeah.
So for the, a lot of people are not really so familiar with the North State Symphony. We always think everybody knows what we're doing and what we're talking about, and actually that's not exactly true. So give us just a quick thumbnail sketch of who you are and what you do and how often you play.
Sure. Well, the North State Symphony is pretty much the only professional orchestra in this entire region, and we do four big sort of classical sets of concerts every year in Chico and Reading. We do a pop series. So we have a big New Year's Eve event right here in Reading in December, obviously. It's like, when is New Year's? It's in December. And we do a holiday set. We bring music to the North State that really caters to everyone's musical tastes. I do my best listening to people and trying to formulate seasons of music that really pick out things that, will draw some nostalgic sense in people, the big, the Beethovens, the Brahms, the Bachs, the Haydns, and infuse it with things that people don't necessarily know, and new and exciting things.
And what is your position with the orchestra?
I'm the music director.
You're the music director.
Yeah.
I should have done that from the beginning. Yeah, I'm not as familiar as some people are with what's going on, although I hear nothing but good things about the symphony. I have a friend that goes and keeps inviting me, and I guess I'm going to have to join her one day.
Oh, you should. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is this weekend, and what time?
Well, this weekend is Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. at the Cascade Theater. I give a pre-concert talk at 6:30 p.m., and our season sponsor, Dignity Health, is actually throwing a pre-concert party starting at 6 p.m. So there's a lot of great – and we're going to close off the street right in front of the Cascade. So you should come out and hang out with us and talk to a bunch of people and then walk in and hear some music. So it's going to be a fun time.
And this Saturday evening, and how do people get tickets?
Well, they can go to the Cascade Theater, or they can go to the North State Symphony website, northstatesymphony.org, and that'll direct you to the right place to do it.
Okay. This is the final show of the year?
Of this season, yeah. We don't perform again until September.
Do you perform other places in the North State?
Yeah, we are primarily in Chico and Reading. But depending on which concert it is, we also perform in Red Bluff and Oroville and occasionally other smaller communities in the area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think that we have, you said there was someone else that was going to join us this morning.
Well, we typically have vouchers for you to give away. And so.
Okay. I think they may be out there we've closed it. We're going to just see if we got someone else that's going to join us with some vouchers this morning for those of you who would like to attend the North State Symphony on Saturday. And yes, we do. So we have some vouchers that we give away.
There you go.
And we have three. Oh, we have.
How many do we have?
Six.
We have six. So how do you want to do it, Bob? First caller, get two?
Let's give them the option. We have six total.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give the let's make it the third caller as an option of two or four, and then we'll dole out the others.
Okay, fine.
All right.
So the third caller will get your choice of either two or four vouchers to the symphony. See, now we're going to play the game. So this is exciting, and thank you for joining us. Gary?
Yes.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining us this morning. So, Scott, so what do you do in your off time?
I don't have off time. No, music consumes my whole being. The symphony that they're going to hear this weekend, I've actually been invested with for many years now. It's a big piece of music. Like, the book is like 2 inches thick, and that's how big it is. And so my time is spent, you know, either studying and preparing for this or doing, you know, talking to people, you know, sort of just being an ambassador for music and going around the North State, having dinners, fundraisers, you know, getting people excited about music.
What the musicians that are part of the symphony,
mm-hmm.
are they local people?
That's a great question. Yeah, 50% of the North State Symphony comes from Chico or Redding. And the other 50%, because it's an auditioned professional orchestra, come from the Bay Area, they come from Sacramento, they come from as far as Bend, Oregon, and L.A. So we have, you know, a true, you know, cornucopia of extremely talented players right here in the North State.
Who are dedicated to providing this. Like, how many concerts a year are there?
We do approximately anywhere from 15 to 20 concerts a year.
Wow.
Yeah. So typically from September to May, there's like one set a month. So it's a pretty good mix of stuff.
Great. So we were able, the third caller was took four tickets.
We had two callers.
And we've given away the six tickets. So Lori and Marty, congratulations, and the tickets will be here at the front counter for you. And lucky you, you get to go and and enjoy the finale of the season.
Yes, definitely. And Lori and Marty, feel free to come up to the stage after the concert and chat with me.
Oh, good. and know that's exciting to be able to get free tickets, and now their weekend is planned, and they didn't even know it.
Absolutely. And don't forget about the 6 p.m. party, sponsored by Dignity Health. So it's going to be a fun time.
Yeah, exactly. So you get there around 6 o'clock, and they've got a party going on out in the front of the place. And,
yep.
And okay. You know, the Cascade Theater offers so much to this community and gives us such an opportunity. You can support it by coming to these different events, and while when you call up to get your tickets, you can make a donation online as you purchase your tickets, and that's always a good thing to do. Or if you're not a member of the Cascade Theater, then you're not finding out about these wonderful events early on, so you need to join. I always like to put in my pitch for the Cascade.
There you go.
It's a good thing in the community.
Yep.
Final thoughts for our listening audience?
This is also the concert that we have brochures available for next season, so if people really, you know, are dying to see what the North State Symphony is going to play next year, come on out to this concert. You're going to get some great music and an insight to all of the fun events that we're going to have next season. So lots of stuff going on this weekend.
Yeah, good planning tool and be able to pick those up.
Oh, absolutely.
On Saturday night at 6 o'clock in the parking lot. Symphony starts at 7.
Symphony is at 7:30
p.m.
6:30 pre-concert lecture, and then the party starts at 6 p.m.
Okay. All right. Come join us on the weekend. That's at the Cascade Theater. And thanks so much, Scott, for coming
in. Thank you. Pleasure talking to you.
All right. And looking forward to Saturday evening and that great fun. We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
As consumers, we've learned how that if something's too good to be true, it usually is.
Wow, according to this email, I've just been given $10 million from a nice lady in South Africa.
With our new weight loss powder, you can take 40 pounds off in 15 days without any exercise or eating less.
Yeah, too good to be true. Premier Oil Change's Premier Rewards Program. You earn points that you redeem for oil changes and services for every dollar you spend. Add to that free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi while you wait in your vehicle during your service, and a free beverage. You found something that's too good and true. Last year, Premier Oil Change guests earned thousands of dollars worth of free services, and the good news is there's no sign-up necessary. Visit us in Palisadro. Premier's in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you can get a free car wash with every oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
The Reading Rodeo has been inducted into the PRCA Hall of Fame as one of the top rodeos in the nation. Come see what makes the Reading Rodeo a recipient of this great honor as the Reading Rodeo takes place May 17th through the 20th. 4 days of action-packed rodeo with free performances of the Wrangler Million Dollar Silver Tour Rodeo. Wednesday and Thursday night are family night, and Friday is tough enough to wear pink night. Sponsored by Pendleton Whiskey. Saturday night, it's the Wrangler Champions Challenge as the top 10 in each event compete for an $80,000 purse. Every night will feature a Chuckwagon Races specialty act. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets, go online to ReadingRodeo.com or visit the Rodeo Box Office at the Reading Rodeo Grounds Monday through Saturday, 9 to 6. Order by phone at 241-8559. Reading Rodeo annual stake feed is Saturday, May 13th. Follow the Reading Rodeo on Facebook. The Reading Rodeo Grounds roar to life for the annual Reading Rodeo.
Simpson University will prepare you to be a teacher in just 12 months. Start summer, fall, or spring and fill the need for the next generation of educators. Many Simpson students have landed teaching jobs before completing their credential program. We'll show you how you can accomplish this and receive an instructional iPad too. Simpson University offers scholarships, grants, and financial aid to help you achieve your educational goals. Call 1-888-9-SIMPSON or go online to simpsonu.edu/credential for more details.
The 23rd Annual Banquet for the Reading Chapter of Safari Club International will be conducted May 13th at the Wind River Event Center. Safari Club International is the premier organization that protects hunters' rights and promotes wildlife conservation worldwide. Join us for a night of great food and fantastic auctions. Auctions will include African hunting safaris, Argentinian dove hunts, elk, bear, and buffalo hunts. Special drawings for youth and ladies for gear and guns. For tickets, call Larry McLeod at 530-474-5075.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here. If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
And at 7:46, Wellgate Sports Club, located at 1740 Eureka Way, is a full-service sports club. Right now they have a new program, Aqua Personal Training with Kathleen Cowley. It's a unique saltwater pool facility available only at Wellgate Sports Club. Give them a call, 768-1205.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio, Free Fire Radio. We've kind of jumping around here on subjects this morning, but that's just kind of what we do. If you'd like to give us a call, you have a question about whatever's on your mind, give us a call at 605-4567. And we welcome those in the chat room, kcnr1460.com. And as all of you know, I don't watch what you're saying in there, but I think Bob's keeping up with you. And if you've got a question, let us know. So we talked a little, we've been talking about the Anderson Fire Protection District and the fact that our budget is in better shape. But I don't want to leave the impression that we don't have issues. We're down on positions. We really desperately need to fill some of those positions. The board has made the decision to do an interim chief, really get this budget back to where we're absolutely closing the year in the black and hopefully starting next year with some new ideas, which is going to take some involvement from the community. There was a half-cent sales tax passed in the city of Anderson for public safety three years ago. Clearly, I think the expectation was that people see public safety as police and fire. But that was a tax for the city of Anderson. We explained earlier that the Anderson Fire Protection District is not a part of the city of Anderson. So none of those funds from that half-cent sales tax have been or are going to the fire protection. We have a $20 parcel charge that all citizens that live in the Anderson Fire Protection District pay. That and little share of property tax is what we fund our department on. That can't continue. $20 is a pretty ridiculous amount of money for people to pay for fire protection, and that's basically all they're paying. So we've got to do something about that, and we will be coming to the community in the very near future with a plan, hopefully, that because recognizing that if I live in a house, I pay $20. If I own Walmart, I pay $20. If I have an apartment complex with 70 units, I pay $20. That's just not an appropriate way to fund fire protection in any area, and we need desperately to do something about that. It will take the cooperation of the citizens.
It will, and this is where the community needs to be involved and come together. And as you said, we get zero funds from the city of Anderson. We get zero funds from the public safety tax. The Anderson Fire Protection District is a freestanding fire department, special district by itself, funded, just as you said. And there's a department that runs almost 3,000 calls a year. That's sometimes as many as 15 or 20 calls a shift in a 24-hour period. And, you know, we work a 48-96 shift, which means that our firefighters are on duty 48 hours a day, 48 hours straight, and then they go home for 96 hours, and then they come back. And in that 48 hours, in those 2 days, they can run as many as 35 to 40 calls, if not more. And so we have a very busy community that relies heavily on us for medical and fire and traffic collisions and hazardous materials, and we're basically an all-risk fire service. And so, yes, we do have to do something. We've got three open positions on the firefighter ranks, and we have one open position on the captain's ranks. And an
interim chief, which is being filled by a battalion chief.
Right. And so we have been very, very conservative the last couple of years here in Anderson to still provide a level of service, but to be fiscally responsible. And you can only do so much with so much. And so it is time to go before the community and get the community involved. We're looking at a benefit assessment. The legal team is looking at that. We'll be developing some committees with board members, which are our policymakers, the administrators, which are our chief officers, and the labor group, which is our union, and also people in the community. And we need to get business people and people in the community to get on and serve on these committees so we can look at how do we actually fund this district? How do we keep the level of service that this community requires?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is going to be very important for the community to become involved in that. And the reality is it takes money to do this. And so yes, the fire district is going to have to raise money in the next couple of years.
And we have some ideas. There's some ability to collect through Medicare and Medi-Cal on some of the calls that we do that is being done in other places in the state of California that wouldn't be a direct impact on the citizens. But again, the parcel charges, it needs to be adjusted. We've all been paying $20 for a long time. That does require a vote of the citizens, and so we're looking for some people within the community who are willing to work with us, become educated about this, and then help explain that to the rest of the community so that when we go out for our vote, however we go about it, that the citizens see the benefit of it and realize that they need to be a part of supporting that.
There are fire districts failing in some of the communities around the western part of the United States. California is not exempt from that. And there are little fire districts here in Shasta County that they're all struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really time for all the little fire districts to sit down and at a table and try to figure out how they're going to address this. And it could be joining forces and becoming an entity, a fire authority.
Mm-hmm.
We've done some work with Cottonwood, which we have automatic aid and mutual aid with both. So we have automatic things that we respond to, and we have mutual things that they can also request more things for. But, you know, we've been exploring for a couple years on a fire authority for the South County, Shasta County, which would include Cottonwood and Anderson. And of course, you know, I think it's would behoove the other small departments to sit down and try to figure out What would it take to create a South County Fire Authority? And these are some of the things that we've been looking at and exploring, and we've had some meetings and some study sessions, and so I think the future holds is that really there needs to be more coming together, more I can't think of the word right now, more collaboration between the fire districts.
I think you're right, and I think there's, you know, you've got Millville and you've got Cottonwood, Anderson, Happy Valley, South County areas that you've got some CDF or Cal Fire stations mixed in there with the county responsibility and some of the other areas that and everyone's kind of struggling. There's no secret elixir, unfortunately, that we can pull on to make these things happen. But I think all working together, you have certainly, I want to publicly congratulate you on the efforts that you've made, because
thank you.
You've given us some new thought processes and some ways to go forward. Certainly, I know that the people that are associated with the Anderson Fire Protection District now, the entire board that I serve with, we realize that you've set us in the right direction. Our equipment's in good shape. We're providing a really good service, I think. But we've got to fill some of those positions and move forward with that. That's going to take another way to create funding. And we can do that without too much of a burden on anybody. But it's going to take the whole community. And we're growing in the South County. The city of Anderson is getting all kinds of new businesses. They certainly need to be a part of this whole thing, because when they come in and they establish their businesses there, they want to be assured that it's going to be protected. And certainly fire plays a big role in that.
Right. And not only the fire, but the medical. And really the community drives the level of service that they want. If the community wants paramedics on the engine companies, then that's the service that the Anderson Fire Protection District absolutely needs to provide. But when the citizens want that and they want to drive that direction, they've got to help pay for that.
Yeah.
So there needs to be funding mechanisms in place and that's why you get the community in these meetings. You get all the stakeholders into a meeting and you say, okay, here's what the community wants. The community says, we want paramedics on the fire trucks. We want paramedics because we don't know if we've got an ambulance coming from Redding or Tehama County. Because they are busy. They're frequently out of ambulances here in Shasta County. If the community says, we want our own paramedic ambulance here in the community, well, then that's the service level that we need to provide. But the community needs to realize they've got to fund that. And so the businesses and the community, the users of the service, have to decide how they want to fund that. If you tell me that you absolutely want paramedics on a fire truck to come to your house, then we've got to provide that service, but you've got to help me try to figure out how to fund that.
Somebody has to pay for it. Nothing is
right.
And certainly there's all kinds. My next guest in the next hour is Chief Rob Pelletti from the Reading Police Department, and he's going to surely have a story to tell us about certainly the issues that he's facing, and a lot of them have to do with funding, for sure.
You know, and it's no different in the South County than it is anywhere else in the state. Where I'm going to, Trish, there's already been several cities and fire districts that have and a county department that have joined forces to create this fire department that I'm going to. And before I'm even getting there, there's an actual city and another community that have applied, sent a letter to the board asking for them to be included. And so you're talking about another city with four fire stations and it's just even in some of the areas where there is more money available, they're still seeing this need to consolidate and to collaborate and to work together.
There's an economy of scale, certainly, that sometimes when you join together with somebody else, you can do a better job of providing that necessary service.
Right.
It's been a pleasure having you with me this morning, and certainly a pleasure
always fun
working
to come
with
down
you
here.
For the last 2.5 years. I hope you'll keep in touch with us.
I will.
I'm not sure I'm going to forgive you, because you're the reason that I agreed to go back on the board, and now you're deserting me. So we'll see how that goes. But
I'm always a phone call away, and we do have a house here in Reading, and so we'll be back and forth for a while. We're looking at putting it on the market right now. It's in Wooded Acres. If anybody's looking for a nice house in Wooded Acres, let me know. I'll be here for a while.
So. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to take a break now for the news, and we'll be back after these messages.
And Community Talk Radio for the North State is AM 1460, KCNR Shasta Redding, where the news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better at the river.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump's firing of FBI Director James Comey during an active investigation on alleged Russian hacking has triggered a call for action on Capitol Hill.
If there was ever a time when circumstances warranted a special prosecutor, it is right now.
But that's not all Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer wants.
I will be requesting that the Majority Leader call a closed and, if necessary, classified all senators' briefing with the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General separately.
Two investigations are currently ongoing.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
The Senate Intelligence Committee's review of Russian active measures and intelligence activities and the FBI investigation disclosed by Director Comey.
A replacement to Director Comey is expected to be named soon. Linda Kenyon, Capitol Hill.
President Trump, meanwhile, is taking to Twitter to defend his decision to let Comey go.
The president writes on Twitter that James Comey will be replaced by someone who will do a far better job bringing back the spirit and prestige of the FBI. He also says that the former FBI director lost the confidence of almost everyone in Washington, Republican and Democrat alike. The president claims that when things calm down, they will be thanking me.
As correspondent Greg Clugston from the White House, Russia's top diplomat is making a rare visit to Washington, where he's meeting this morning with President Trump. At the State Department, Sergei Lavrov got a face full of microphones from reporters seeking a connection between his talk to the president and Comey's firing.
You're kidding. You're kidding.
Today's talks mark the highest level face-to-face contact between the Trump administration and Russia. Federal investigators are reportedly reviewing allegations that U.S. Customs and Border Protections officers in New Jersey have been subjected to sexually abusive hazing. NBC New York reports that three customs officers say the abuse has been going on for years now at Newark's Liberty International Airport. More of these stories from townhall.com.
Consult your tax professional before investing. Let me ask you a question. Can you keep your 401k or IRA safe from the death of the dollar, continued rampant Fed spending, political corruption, and from the possible new Cold War with Russia? If you answered no, then listen up. We are Advantage Gold, the number one rated gold IRA company in America by TrustLink. Fortunes are going to be made and lost over the next few months. It's time you took action. Over 50,000 people have requested our gold IRA investment guide to learn how to protect their retirement savings. Now it's your turn. Right now, we are giving away a free copy of our new gold IRA protection guide to anyone with an IRA, 401k, or retirement account. Find out how quick and easy it can be to convert your retirement fund to gold. Just call 1-800-900-8000 right now, and we will help teach you how to keep your retirement savings away from the government and safe in your pocket. Just call today at 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Representatives are standing by. Call 800-900-8000.
Airlines appear to be getting better at updating technology systems. Correspondent Jeremy House has more.
Southwest Airlines has completed a switch to a new reservation system and seemingly did it with relatively few glitches. The airline says the new system from Amadeus IT Group will help it improve flight scheduling and other tasks and also bring in more revenue from selling add-on services. For years, Southwest labored with a system that lacked the capabilities of those used by other big airlines, such as selling tickets in foreign currencies and rebooking passengers automatically instead of manually in some circumstances. Jeremy House reporting.
U.S. stock indexes were mostly lower this morning following weak first-quarter reports from consumer-focused companies, including Priceline and Disney. However, energy companies are rising along with the price of oil. Right now, it is a Dow down by just about 38 points, and NASDAQ off by 14. More on these stories at townhall.com. Life is hard these days for many brick-and-mortar outlets.
We've had already roughly 3,500 announced store closures.
year-to-date, 14 bankruptcies have been initiated, and things are tough out there. So it doesn't mean the retail industry is going to completely go away, but it is undergoing significant shifts and downsizing.
And Ken Perkins with the group Retail Metrics says one reason is that consumers are spending more of their money on experiences and less on goods. Also, he says right now the U.S. has about twice as many retail stores as the next leading Western country. Young people, when they want to check the time, tend to look at their smartphones, not their watch. Maybe that's why watchmaker Fossil tumbled after another weaker-than-expected quarterly report. The company said sales of traditional watches and other jewelry continued to fall. Fossil is now trading at eight-year lows as it lost $4.24 per share. More of these stories at townhall.com.
Save the date for Friday, May 12th, as Wind River Resort and Casino and the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce are hosting Reading's 5th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest. Bacon and Brew fans unite and taste an array of bacon-inspired appetizers, entrees, and desserts provided by restaurants from around the area. What would bacon be without a cold one? Sample a variety of microbrews from area breweries. You are the judges at this savory event as vendors compete for prize money. Bring your appetite and be ready to quench your thirst at Reading's 5th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest. Plus, the Hill Street Band will be performing live, so you can boot, scoot, and boogie while satisfying your hunger and tossing back a cold one. Tickets $20 per person. Tastings included with purchase. Save the date for Friday, May 12th, for the 5th Annual Bacon and Brew Fest. Bacon and Brew Fest. From 5 to 9 p.m. For details, contact group sales at 530-339-7454 or log on to windriver.com. Bacon and Brew. It's better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And this is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. It's Wednesday. But it is Trish Clark. It's not Thursday. You're all getting confused. It is only Wednesday, but I'm here this morning with all kinds of special guests.
We like to keep our listeners on their toes.
Absolutely. Once you're paying attention, you can jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. 65 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 86, low of 57 on Thursday. It's going to start a cooling trend. We're down to 71 of a high, 48 low on Friday, 69 and a low of 46. Kind of going that way towards the weekend and into next week. 20% chance of showers, possibly some rain next week. But it's cooling down and it's good, about 6 feet from the top.
Yeah. The guys who wear turnouts and the guys who wear Kevlar are appreciative of the cooler weather.
Absolutely. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. Locally and veteran-owned and operated, they give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. I'm joined in the studio now by one of our favorite people, Chief Rob Poletti from the Reading Police Department.
Morning.
Good morning. So we're gonna start on a really upbeat note here and talk about all kinds of good things happening in the city of Reading with the police department.
Well, we after 4 years of effort, we finally got the computer system contract approved by the Board of Supervisors, City of Anderson, and City of Reading.
After 4 years, I'm gonna just back up a bit, and we've been trying to get a countywide computer system. Dispatch, blah, 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 set, not dispatch, but countywide radio system that everybody was talking on the same channel for way longer than 4 years, I can assure you.
Well,
because we were working on that when I was on the board, and I've been retired for 10 years.
The radio system is a whole different issue than the computer system.
Right.
So this is a countywide computer system. It will work off a singular database, so when we run somebody, we don't just get Reading's information. We don't have to go to a different system to get Shascom or jail information. You run somebody, you'll get information from Anderson, the jail, Shascom, Reading PD, all in one singular database countywide. So the City of Reading's portion of that was $1.647 million, I believe, to implement the system. We were able to do that cooperatively with Anderson and the Sheriff's Department. We sought grants over the last 4 years, and the whole thing's going to cost the general fund about $98,000.
Wow.
Like 1.647. So fiscally, I think we've done a good job of getting the grants. The radio system, Tom Basenko and I talked, 3 years ago, and they're on a low band system. We're on a high band system. So my guys cannot talk to his guys when they're standing together on the street.
We're still doing that.
Because the FCC requires us to be high band. But since high band signals don't dip into canyons like low band signals do, the sheriff gets to stay on low band. So since only one of us needed to change, we sought grant funding, interoperability grant funding sponsored. We applied. The sheriff supported us, and we got all dual band radios for our department, which, you know, when you see that radio on that officer's hip, that's about $5,700 per officer. But we have about five left that we still have to purchase, but now our department can flip to low band and talk directly on the sheriff's department frequency. So that part of it's been fixed, and the computer system will continue that integration. But the real key in the new system is that we can get real-time crime data. Right now it's 45 to 60 days old. We don't have any crime analysis capability. We don't have any crime mapping. This will bring off literally into the current century and out of our 1988 computer system. So I was talking to a group yesterday and about our system, and one of the guys said, I learned to program in that, you know, computer programming language in the 70s.
Yeah.
And the system was put in place in 1988. So this is a huge leap forward for us. It'll help us with, you know, resource management towards the end, because we're going to start with the ShASCOM CAD dispatch with the mobile computing for the officers, and then move module by module. So it'll still take, you know, 18 to 24 months is what I would say. The system has to work perfectly with no glitches for 90 days. And each time that there's a glitch that they have to come fix, that clock starts over. So until it works perfectly for 90 days, we don't make the final payment and the acceptance. So when I say 18 to 24 months, we'll be using all of those modules in between. It's just the, you know, the final acceptance of the project should take that long. But there's a public portal as part of this, since we'll have good data that's easy to access, where people can go in and actually crime map their own neighborhoods and see what's going on in their neighborhoods. So that'll be a good use of the data for neighborhood watch groups and other things. So it'll be a huge leap forward in technology for the department.
Which is certainly, I like that you point that out, because that's one of the things that has to happen in for this whole thing to work, is that the citizens need to become more involved in protecting their own neighborhoods.
Well, the comms, not only just for law enforcement, but for mass disasters, where you've got even more agencies that need to communicate, that need to coordinate their ICS systems, incident command systems. This has been a perennial problem all along.
Well, OES still has their channel that we can flip to, but that's straight talk communication. This is repeated communication. So, you know, we operate, you know, with the size of the Reading Police Department being, you know, 1996 staffing levels, and the Sheriff's Department is short and Anderson is short. You know, we have to coordinate with each other, and we cooperate very well. And this allows us to communicate better. I mean, we would have to do, you know, joint SWAT operations with the Sheriff's Department and our SWAT officers before we got the new radios. Couldn't even talk to each other. That's not a real good tactical plan. So, you know, we've
sign language doesn't work well behind all that equipment.
We've made some significant infrastructure improvements in the police department in the last 5 years with the building and the radios and the computer system. Now is kind of that final piece. We still have about 19 Crown Victorias that we're going to have to rotate out of the fleet eventually and get the new SUVs. The SUVs are considerably more expensive, at least for the first fleet till they're all replaced. Then we can take all the $11,000 worth of internal equipment out of one car and stick it in the next. But we're plugging along on that as well. The county opened the mental health care center about 2 months ago, and now we have a resource to be able to take those that are mentally ill to, rather than just jail. So that's working out very well. You know, we are increasing, the Community Corrections Partnership is increasing the amount of sentenced offenders that can go to the day reporting center. That contract's going to be up to about 180, 150 out of custody, and we're trying to do 30 in custody. So we can start them in the programming in the jail, get buy-in from them, get them enthused with the program so that we can lower the abscond rate for those that don't report to the day reporting center afterwards. So I think that'll be a huge move in the right direction. I still think, though, I would like to see a day reporting center for the East County for those people, because you have to go there every day. And if you live in Bernie or you live in Shingletown, that's a long drive every day to get to the Day Reporting Center. And I think there's some unserved population out in East County where we could kick an extension of that out that direction.
I think that's true.
Probably too early to have any defined evidence of it, but do you foresee fewer back injuries with the higher vehicle that you can slide out of rather than the lower vehicle that you have to climb up out of with all that, 40 pounds of stuff hanging off your waist?
Well, I'm about 30 pounds different when I'm dressed for work than when I am normal with the vest and the belt and everything. Okay. So I think that's going to be a huge advantage for that reason. I mean, you put a dive belt on and try to stand up out of your car. It's not good for the back. The SUV, you slide your legs to the side and you get out. But they're also all-wheel drive, and a lot of the areas in Reading that we have to go to, it's more difficult to get to if you don't have an all-wheel drive. So these are. The performance of them's been very good. The maintenance of them's been very good. I'd like the guys to stop crashing them, but, you know, exactly. I think so. We've also, put
and
a lot of...
And they're more versatile vehicles.
They're more versatile, but we've also done a lot for the ergonomics, too, by putting suspenders. Hidden suspenders in, so it gets the weight off the hips and onto the shoulders, so that we have less of those. But the main injuries that we're getting right now for the officers, and we have, I think it's 11 of our 50 patrol officers right now are heading for knee, back, and shoulder surgery, and that's usually fighting with those on methamphetamine.
Yeah, I'm going to say yeah. Let's go to a break, and we'll be back after these messages.
And this portion of the program is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive in Reading, 222-2750. It's the only full-service jewelry store in Reading, Four Winds Jewelry.
It's time again for those crazy yellow-shirted asphalt cowboys to suit up for rodeo week. Monday morning, keep watch. The lone stranger and sidekick will rob a bank and hide their loot. Win cash by listening to the clues and unmasking those dastardly scoundrels. Tuesday's street dance, chili cook-off, and quick draw contest is in Buckaroo Flats, and Friday morning's world-famous pancake breakfast in Roaring Goats with 10,000 of your closest friends. Tickets are $4 in advance. Special thanks to Silverthorne Resort for their generous houseboat donation.
Orchard Nutrition Center knows that your time is valuable. Now you can place your deli order online, and we'll have it ready when you're ready. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Facebook page and click on the Use App button. From there, you can select to order delicious deli items such as deli cheeses, meats, a variety of fresh-made salads, or you can select to build your own custom deli sandwich. Choose from a variety of freshly baked breads. Add your favorite cheese, meat, condiments. Don't forget to add your favorite veggies, and if you'd like to add some extras, that's okay. Create your sandwich your way. And now you can pay online with our secure online checkout, and your order will be ready in 30 minutes. Whether a single item or a large order for your office or family, skip the checkout lines and log on to Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook at orchardnutrition.com or download the Orchard Nutrition Center app from Google Play or the App Store. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com, then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
And I want to take just a minute to tell you real quick about Alliance Heating and Air. They've been serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service on all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. Warranties, guarantees, 7 days a week and 24-hour service. Alliance Heating and Air, call 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. It is 819 on KCNR's Free Fire Radio as we continue.
It is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. It's Wednesday. This is Trish Clark. You can jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call if you've got a question for Police Chief Rob Belletti at 605-4567 or anything else you'd like to talk about. We're open to that. And if you've got something on your mind you need to tell us about, give us a call. So, Chief, we were talking about the day reporting center and some of the issues that we have with – we had a lot of people who are being sentenced at the local level that used to go away after they committed a crime.
Yes.
They go to state prison or they go to federal prison or they go someplace else. Now they stay in our community. They're in our jail, which is not set up for to be a prison. And a lot of them are serving time and reporting to a day facility. They then go out into the community to perform services at various and sundry places. The problem is that they don't – there's no punishment if they don't show up and follow through on that.
Correct. That's the challenge with the jail being full is, you know, it's you have an opportunity to go do this instead of going to jail. And if you don't do this, you're going to go to jail. Well, they know they're not going to go to jail. So, you know, it's this conundrum that we've been dealing with for, you know, since prison realignment went into effect. I'm concerned right now. I mean, obviously, we know Prop 47 turned all drugs to misdemeanors, raised the threshold for theft. But, you know, with budget cuts, you know, they could be losing misdemeanor DAs, and then they were not going to file the misdemeanors at all, and most of the stuff is a misdemeanor now. You know, there's a lot of – the challenges for law enforcement keep coming. You know, the state wants to do away with bail. Well, bail is how you get people to show up to court. Which they don't issue much bail anymore anyway because the jail's full and they have to cite them out. But, you know, it's just this – the hits just keep coming. And, you know, I what I promise the community is the Reading Police Department is going to continue to investigate crimes and arrest people. But I don't run the whole criminal justice system. We're the intake to it. So we've been very consistent 2014, 2015, 2016 that we make between 8,000 and 8,500 arrests, and about 400 people are over one-third of our arrests.
And I think that people don't get the whole entire picture, and I hear this and have had this conversation for many years with people that the system just doesn't – we can figure out a way to fund the Anderson Police Department or the Reading Police Department, but if we don't figure out a way to fund the whole entire system, it doesn't do any good. You guys arrest them, you take them to the jail. Before you get your paperwork filled out, they're back on the street. If we don't have the courts available and the district attorney and the probation department and the public defender and room in the jail, none of it works.
A box to put them in.
Well, I still think, you know, cops on the street, they don't like getting arrested, which is why they're still fighting with my cops.
Yes.
So, I mean, cops on the street are a deterrent, and we're doing some other things. We got about $75,000 to the city of Reading from the state of California for homeless outreach. So I've got a retired annuitant that's going to be working in partnership with Health and Human Services and the Good News Rescue Mission to go do the homeless outreach to try to connect them with services. We've got a retired annuitant, both code enforcement and police officer that go out and do code enforcement. Bob Brandon is still clearing about 180,000 pounds of trash a year from transient camps. So we're doing other things to try to keep the community clean and to hold people accountable. But you're right. We are the intake to a criminal justice system, and California is systematically still dismantling that system.
And I still believe that it sounds like it's simplification, but I can't believe that it doesn't work. The key to the problems that we face is figuring out a way to create a better economy, put more of those people to work that are in the system. We've got some of them you're not going to do anything about, and we all recognize that. There are a lot of people that get forced into that homeless situation and become a part of a problem. If they could get a job, that they wouldn't be there. And if the way to do that, and I will hit one more time, as I always do, on the resource development departments for the city of Redding and the Shasta County, they have got to learn to smile to people when they walk in and say, how can we make your project successful, as to how can, instead of how we can put obstacles in front of you to keep you from creating those jobs with that new thing you want to do in our community.
Well, and I'll tell you, when I first got here and joined the Community Corrections Partnership panel, I asked if there was a education component to that, because I still believe that, you know, you have to have an education that leads to a vocation as part of any rehabilitation, whether it's from drugs, whether it's from homelessness, or whether it's from criminality. Invited Ava, you know, Jimenez from Shasta College there. We've started the Step Up program. The Sheriff's Department picked up on the invitation I gave to her. They started it a couple years ago. They have a grant from Stanford University. They have 50 people in that program right now taking vocational classes at Shasta College. Their average grade point average is 3.14 or 3.15, and 95% of the graduates have a job. So I just proposed to the Community Corrections Partnership that we fund that, because they have a waiting list. And if mm-hmm. you have people in that lifestyle that that choose to go to college and get a vocation and stop, I think we need to do everything we can to support that. And so that program, starting in July, will have enough funding to go up to 100 students going to those vocational programs.
Well, and there you go. See, because I think that given the choice of bettering their life, providing for their family, moving up to the next step, a lot of people are going to take that opportunity if they can see a job at the end of that. But
yeah.
In order to do that, we have to, as a society, figure out a way to create more jobs within our community. We can do that if we don't make it so difficult for everybody who comes in here to try to establish a business to go through so many hoops. We work on that through a lot of different places, and I think that we're making some progress. I know in the city of Anderson, we're making great progress because they have a good attitude about bringing business in. We need to correct that attitude a little bit in the city of Redding and the unincorporated area.
And I would like to throw in, I did promise I would relay questions from the chat room. And Rob, if you...
appreciate that.
We know that this is from Anon 6771. We know the jail is nowhere in our future. Laws in California are a mess. But what are we going to do? Rob, you are a military man. You have limited resources, but we still need to get the job done. How are we going to get it done? Nothing is changing. We are not adjusting. Are we just waiting for the vigilante to take root?
Well, we are adjusting. You know, that was one of the reasons that I, you know, if you look at what's going on in Redding right now, the root causal issue, you know, other than the jobs that Trish is talking about, is drugs. Opium has taken a hold in Redding. And I've taken, quite frankly, a lot of political heat for supporting a methadone clinic coming to Redding. But I think it's the right thing to do. We're not 15 years ago, I probably wouldn't have supported that because Redding didn't really have a heroin problem and people went to prison for heroin. Well, they don't anymore. So we have to adjust the way that we're looking at things. There's already over 60 people, patients at that methadone clinic trying to get clean and off of opioid painkillers and heroin. And I think that if we can start treating the root causal issue, and that's bringing better drug treatment programs and the mental health issues to Redding, that will clean up a lot of the street, which then, you know, allows us to be more attractive to those businesses that are coming here. But, you know, from a response perspective, we're still taking care of crime. I mean, we had a shooting 2 weeks ago. We had two robberies in one day, and those three people are in custody. You know, now it's up to the criminal justice system to address them. But, you know, our investigation section the other day looked like a doctor's office. We had, you know, people waiting in line. We had a shooting suspect, two robbery suspects, and nine witnesses all standing in investigations waiting to be interviewed by our nine detectives. So I really think that the Redding Police Department, you know, for what our mission is to respond to emergencies. And our response times are slow, partially because we don't have enough people in patrol, but also because the city encompasses 60 square miles and we have to drive to get there. But the hard work of the Redding police officers is still, you know, they're taking care of business. We are going to change the way that the neighborhood police unit is doing business. If the funding gets raised to keep them, we've allowed them to kind of concentrate on downtown. What we're going to do is I'm going to divide the city into four quadrants, a north, south, and central, east, and west. And each of those officers is going to get assigned to one of those quadrants to identify and solve community policing projects in those districts. So we're not just so downtown focused, but we're also starting to take care of our businesses that and our communities that are on market in the industrial area in the north and Hilltop and Dana Drive. And it's not just about downtown.
May I throw out something? I know you cannot comment because it's obviously still under investigation. Last week's shooting at the apartment complex in Enterprise. Word that I'm hearing, and we have nothing official, nor do I expect you to comment on it, but an overview, third time in very recent memory, that a citizen has resorted to violence to protect themselves, and I think it reflects an atmosphere of we've got to take these things into our own hands because even if I call 911, it's going to be 20 minutes before a car shows up. Now, granted, when the 911 call went out because somebody very close to me was very near the scene and heard the thing go down, response was very quick. But perception is 90% of reality.
Yeah, our response times, we adjusted and our staffing around a little bit. We have our emergency response times down from, 16 minutes to closer to 14 minutes. But that's still not good enough.
Not when somebody's got a gun in your head.
The fact of the matter is that in each of those cases, the suspects are high on dope. So once again, if we can solve the dope problem, which, I don't know. If I knew the answer to get everybody off drugs, I'd be in a think tank in Washington, D.C. making millions of dollars. But, we have to have ways in order to treat that. And part of the challenge in Reading when you implement rehabilitation programs as opposed to, the Bay Area or L.A. is, yes, there's better programs than others, but we don't have a lot of practitioners of those programs. So it's just like when we have people that are mentally ill that go to an emergency room bed rather than a mental hospital, and they talk to a doctor on Skype rather than a doctor in person. It's those shortages in the North State that are still challenging so that when we get them, we can't necessarily get them to the best treatment that they need to make the change.
Okay, let's take a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
And it's a thing that rational people hope that they never, ever have to use. We're talking, of course, about personal protection. And Bastiani Arms at 2539 Larkspur Lane, our firearms dealer of choice. When it comes to selecting a new long gun or pistol, having their gunsmith work on their guns, or buying ammo, John Bastiani prides himself on customer service, always having what the customer needs in stock. And at fair prices, Bastiani Arms, 222-8222.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
A true tribute band comprised of the best musicians and performers specializing in a complete Beach Boys concert production. Join us Friday, May 19th at 7:30 p.m. as Wind River Resort and Casino welcomes Catch a Wave, the Beach Boys show, live in the event center. The sounds of surf, sun, and classic cars sets the backdrop for this recreation of the 1960s Beach Boys with Catch a Wave. With vocal harmony beyond belief, Catch a Wave is guaranteed to bring audiences the most precise experience of the Beach Boys, sporting authentic detail just as you remember. Remarkable harmonics evoking that surf pop sound. A must-see show. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club or WindRiver.com. Tickets are just $12.50 each or a table of 10 for $100. Don't miss your chance to see Catch a Wave, the Beach Boys show in concert at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center Friday, May 19th. A good time will be had by all. For details, call 1-800-280-UWIN or log on to WindRiver.com. Must be 21 to attend. Concerts are better at the River.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
65 degrees in Redding, and as always, weather brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Customers are warm friends. And, of course, it is very cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. Locally owned and operated. Give senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793.
And continuing our discussion with Chief Rob Paletti from the Redding Police Department, I think that our society has changed, and we're going to have to learn to recognize that. I believe... We need to. I'm liking some of the new moves that are being made by the present administration in Washington D.C. because I'm kind of liking some of the return to basics kind of philosophy. Stop with the sanctuary city stuff. Seal up our border. Try to stop. Put the brakes on all of this drugs and illegals that are coming into our community, because we got to start slowing it down before we can start getting a handle on everything that we're dealing with in our communities. Redding's no different than any other community in California, but it's going to get worse if we don't start slamming some of that home. Having said that, let's talk a little bit about me, the citizen that lives in your city. What can I do on my own to make my surroundings safer and take a better part of protecting me?
Well, we've talked a lot in the past about crime prevention through environmental design and making sure that, you know, your house is as hardened of a target as possible, because criminals go to the point of least resistance. You know, I joked at a town hall meeting one time. I said it's a competition between you and your neighbor to see whose house is buttoned up better. It's sad that we have to talk that way. It's sad that, you know, Redding isn't a place where you can leave your doors and windows unlocked anymore. But that's just not the reality. And I don't know that California is going to go back. You know, they're not looking at the crime rate, because crime rate measures victimization. And what they're looking at is a bunch of other, you know, statistics that don't apply, in my view, to gauge the success of the criminal justice experiment that they're doing. Matter of fact, they're even going farther, because now they're going to do away with bail, and bail is what gets people to court. So, you know, we are. My doctor told me the other day that stress is being held accountable for decisions you didn't make. I said, well, that's kind of my life, because there's a lot of frustration with what California is doing with, you know, with the criminal justice system and this de-incarceration experiment. I'm really still not sure that AB 109 or prison realignment is bad law. Can local jurisdictions deal with lower level offenders better than the mass prison system of the state of California? Perhaps. But what I can tell you is that California shifted the responsibility too quickly.
They shifted the responsibility, and they didn't send any money with it.
They didn't send the money before they sent the inmates.
Yeah.
And they're only sending about a third of the money that they were spending on those inmates. So counties aren't able to build, at least Shasta County isn't able to build necessarily that capacity that the state of California shifted to its responsibility with the amount of money that it sends. You know, rehabilitation programs all take people. And just like when we talk about the police department, lowering response times takes cops. Well, cops are expensive. Personnel are expensive. These aren't inexpensive programs when you're talking about, you know, the cost per inmate. And you have, you know, we made 8,500 arrests last year, or just short of that. You know, that's, you know, and when 400 people, You know, the county just put in for a grant to serve 600 people a year for 3 years was $5.9 million. So these aren't inexpensive programs that you try to put in place. And I really think, you know, that the criminal justice system has the responsibility to give people the opportunity to change. But if they don't want to make that change, we need the jail bed space to change that decision-making paradigm, because I can give them all the opportunity in the world. They still have to make the choice to change. Well, and we need the jail space to change that decision-making paradigm.
But we need – back to my original question, because I really want to focus, because I see things in the community on a regular basis where people are opening themselves up for crime. One of the things I see all the time, we have a lot of auto theft. I mean, we constantly have cars on the different web pages that we sign up for, our neighborhood watch things. Cars are being moved around on a regular basis. 90% of the time, it's starting to get warm. I see people pull into a parking lot, crack their windows, and get out of their car.
Or leave them running because they want the air conditioner running.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, we see that in the winter months where they turn their cars on to let them defrost and leave the keys in the car unlocked, and then, you know, then the car's gone.
We need to get the citizens to start thinking about, I'm on a desert island and nobody's going to come to my defense. How do I make myself safe? And when I park this car, how am I going to be really as sure as I can be that I'm going to come back to it, it's still going to be there?
Well, it's basic crime prevention. And Carl and I, and on this radio show and others that I do, have been talking about crime prevention since I got here. You know, it's just not the reality where you can leave the things unlocked like you used to. When I became chief, almost 60% of the burglaries that we had, residential burglaries in the city of Reading, had no forced entry. Means we left our windows, doors, and
absolutely,
things unlocked. And that's down to about, I think last time we checked it, it was less than 40%. So we've made some improvements there. But, you know, alarm systems, I'm still, you know, I love my dogs. But, you know, it is a challenge for the average citizen, and I don't make light of that. You know, it is a case today where people are not being held accountable for bad actions, and that puts more onus on the community to think about things from a crime prevention standpoint. But quite frankly, from my view, when a citizen's a victim of a crime by somebody, you know, there should be some punishment for that. And
absolutely,
that punishment is not there in the system anymore. And so what we're doing, unfortunately, is, you know, we're still arresting them, but we're emboldening the criminal element. I just met with, you know, the new manager of a major retailer in Reading yesterday, and they were talking about the emboldened criminal element that, you know, they're going in, they know the system. So
well, they know
going,
that they can go in and they can steal $800 worth of stuff.
$950, and they're going in with calculators to make sure that they don't steal over that, because then they know it's a felony and they go to jail instead of getting a citation, because they get citations for misdemeanors.
Well, and a lot of the stores are even saying, don't bother.
Reading Municipal Code violations, they're all, you know, wobblers between misdemeanor and infraction. We file them all as infractions because, you know, the there's not enough district attorneys to prosecute those, and I don't know why you need a DA for a misdemeanor prosecution when the officer says, I saw that guy peeing in the park and I wrote him a ticket for it. But you do, because it's a court trial and it's criminal, not traffic. But when they don't show up to court, they won't issue a warrant on an infraction, because the failure to appear is a misdemeanor. But they won't issue the warrant, so therefore we can't rearrest them and take them to jail and inconvenience them. So these people are actually crumpling up the tickets and throwing them on the ground and looking at the officer saying, why do you give us those? Nothing ever happens. We need to bring accountability back into the criminal justice system that doesn't have it right now.
Well, and the only way we do that is to change the way we elect people, and that gets into the whole thing. And I'm not exactly sure, as we indicated earlier, it can get really depressing if you stop and think about it. I am a positive thinking person, however, and I think that if we certainly say bad things happen to nice people, but if we become more vigilant and more aware of our surroundings, pay more attention to what we do and where we go, I think we can have an impact on it. And if we don't put out a whole bunch of easy targets in front of them on a daily basis, maybe they move on to a richer pasture.
Well, and there's a study in criminal justice called victimology, and it's a study of how victims contribute to their own victimization by bad choices that they make. So, I mean, you've got more minor cases where somebody forgot to lock the window or they left their sunglasses on the dash. But really, the victim perspective that we see from a violent crime perspective in Reading is really those people that choose to participate in certain lifestyles that make them more likely to be a victim. You know, the aggravated assault still is driving Reading's violent crime rate. We did have a big increase in rapes last year, but I think that's more due to legislation than it is to actual increase, because they had the Prison Rape Elimination Act passed last year. So now when somebody's booked into jail, they have to ask them if they've ever been the victim of a sexual assault. And if they say yes, then they have to ask them, did you report it? And if they say no, they have to take a report. So we had about a 20-case increase last year, but we got 22 cases that didn't happen in 2016 from the sheriff, from the jail. So I think that's the account of that. But the violent crime rate that's going up in Reading right now, because violent crimes don't go unreported, like I think is still the problem with property crime, it's that lifestyle. It's the drug addict on drug addict crime. It's the you know, that population of transients and those involved in that, those drug crimes and drug usage in that lifestyle, are the ones that are victimizing each other, and that's where our violent crime rate is coming from.
And I'm not sure that the population understands that. We do have instances where a upstanding citizen in our community is involved, such as the lady that got attacked on the river trail.
Absolutely.
And so that does happen. But I think when you get to the bottom of the cases and the things that never make the newspaper and we don't know about is, as you indicate, the shooting incidents, the break-ins in a lot of these apartment complexes. If, in fact, as a citizen, you're familiar with the areas, the people that are attacking and shooting and knifing each other, a lot of them are all involved in the same scheme of things, and it's trying to figure out which is the worst perpetrator of the bunch.
It is a lot of times, and the drugs, it goes back to the drugs being the root cause of both the property crime and the violent crime that we're seeing now. And when you don't hold people accountable for their drug use and force them, you know, when you make drugs a misdemeanor, you take away a judge's ability to order people to rehab, and that's a lot of times the only reason they'll ever go. So now there's no motivation to go. They still live in that lifestyle. Methamphetamine makes them extremely violent and paranoid. Heroin makes them very sick and desperate, and we've just got a lot of that here right now. The last town hall meeting I did, the latest numbers that I got when I did my opioid presentation was that doctors in Shasta County issue opioid painkiller prescriptions at double the state average. Now, to be
That's
fair,
been that way for a long time in Shasta County. Dr. Feelgood cases, well, 20 years ago.
And the problem is that when the state comes in and shuts down pain management doctors that are handing out opioids like Pez candy, my question is, what did you do with their patients? Because you cut off the doctor, but you didn't do anything for the drug treatment for the people that are now addicted to opioid painkillers. So that was part of the purpose for, you know, supporting the medically assisted treatment facility.
All right, so we're going to take a break and come back for our final segment right after these messages.
And this portion of Free Fire Radio brought to you by our friends at Dandelion, 1322 Pine Street. That would be Linda's favorite store. Give them a call at 247-1292. They've got lots of gifts for that hard-to-buy-for friend, as well as designer brands from Brighton and Miss Me. They also have beautiful candles and home decor. Come on downtown to Dandelion.
As consumers, we've learned how that if something's too good to be true, it usually is.
Wow, according to this email, I've just been given $10 million from a nice lady in South Africa.
With our new weight loss powder, you can take 40 pounds off in 15 days without any exercise or eating less.
Yeah, too good to be true. Premier Oil Change's Premier Rewards Program. You earn points that you redeem for oil changes and services for every dollar you spend. Add to that free fluid top-offs, free check engine light inspections, free Wi-Fi while you wait in your vehicle during your service, and a free beverage. You found something that's too good and true. Last year, Premier Oil Change guests earned thousands of dollars worth of free services, and the good news is there's no sign-up necessary. Visit us in Palo Cedro, Premier's in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations, you can get a free car wash with every oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Hi, this is Janet with Pirate Secret Essential Oils. Our essential oil, Dathif, has helped ease or eliminate the itch and pain of mosquito bites, bee stings, fungal infections, athlete's foot, cold sores, canker sores, cuts and abrasions, tattoos, smelly shoes, acne, skin rashes, shaving bumps, beard dandruff, and helps defend against cold and flu symptoms. Available at Enjoy the Store, Orchard Nutrition, Country Organics, and in Chico, Arcata, and Weed. For more information, visit us at piratesecret.com.
From narwhals to unicorns and manatees to mermaids, discover the physical and cultural connections between the real and mythical worlds at Turtle Bay this summer in Mythical Creatures, Dragons, Unicorns, and Mermaids. Mythic creatures of all kinds are taking over the museum May 20th through October 1st in this immersive, hands-on exhibition organized by the American Museum of Natural History, New York. Mythic Creatures is presented by Shasta Regional Medical Center and U.S. Bank. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Do you back the Blue? This is Ken White of the Good News Rescue Mission. You are invited to Blue, the Mission Spring Fundraising Luncheon on May 17th as we celebrate the unbelievable stories and positive impacts of law enforcement in the lives of women and children. You'll also hear from four-time Ironman and active Jeunesse County, Michigan Undersheriff Chris Swanson as he shares a much-needed inspirational message for our time. And we'll be making a big announcement in conjunction with We Back the Blue that day, so you won't want to miss it. Purchase your table today at gnrm.org.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio. If you're just tuning in, no, it's not Thursday. I'm getting a bunch of text messages going, what did I do, miss a day? No, it's Wednesday. It is Trish Clark here this morning. We've been visiting this morning with the fire chief from the city of Anderson, and now we're visiting with the police chief from the city of Reading, talking about all kinds of things. And I think that Rob and I on the break, we just built a great case for the state of Jefferson, blaming a whole lot of stuff on the state and the desperate things that they keep passing that do things to us.
And we have a caller that I always look forward to hearing from. It's Billy Bob in Palisadro. Hey.
Good morning, Billy Bob.
Hey, good morning, Trish. Great to hear you as always.
Thank you.
Hey, great programming, Bob. You do an excellent job. No wonder you've had so much experience in radio, but it sure shows, man. You're a professional. Anyway,
my check will be in the mail.
Yes, sir.
You know, your problem is all appreciated, everybody here. But the thing is I have to remind everybody that 6 years ago now, we had a $34 million grant from the state of California to build the Twin Tower up against our existing jail that would have given us another 325 beds. And the common area for the kitchen and laundry should have kept the same. And everything would have worked out beautifully. And you would have had a place to put these thieves and these crooks. And now, what are we going to do? We lost the grant money because, simple reason, because we didn't think we could afford the management of it. That's so ridiculous. Come on. What is it costing us now? You know, they made up all these big figures on what it was going to cost us to run the thing. Come on. Throw the sons of bitches. Oh, excuse me. Throw the sons of guns in the hoose cow and keep them there. So anyway, I'll let you guys go. Great show, Trish.
Thanks, Billy Bob.
And for those of you listening on air, we did hit the button, and sometimes people get a little passionate. For those of you listening on the stream, you heard the unedited version.
Well, there is some truth to what he's saying. You know, the county, Tom Basenko, to his credit, you know, has on two occasions, you know, got grant funding to expand jail capacity in Shasta County, and the county couldn't afford the operating costs. So, you know, as a city of Reading, we don't run a jail. You know, cities are not allowed under the California Constitution. It's a county, you know, responsibility, and we do need more jail capacity. And Tom Basenko and I, you know, and Mike Johnson talk constantly about, you know, the need for more jail bed space so that we can get people through the court process. Because right now, We're budgeting for a lot of rehabilitation programs that we're underutilizing because we can't get people through the court process. And if they don't get sentenced to probation, we can't put them in the, you know, rehabilitation programs that we're putting into place. So there is continues to be a challenge, whether you believe in rehabilitation or, you know, like Billy Bob, throw them in the Hooskow and leave them there forever. Whichever way you believe, you still have to have the capacity to be able to do that. And right now the jail just – Tom doesn't have any capacity.
And unfortunately, we can't go back and re-vote and refund areas that we've made mistakes in the past or decisions were made. Certainly, the plight of counties is not anything new to me. I dealt with that for years and the inability. I used to say that if I could have the amount of money that was in the county budget with no strings attached to it, we could have provided with ease everything we need for the citizens of Shasta County. Unfortunately, as a county supervisor, the frustration is you get a lot of money for things that you have absolutely no need to do. I remember one specific program where there was like a ton of money, $500,000 for an education program to teach people how to eat vegetables. And we had 50 people enrolled in this on a regular basis. And I thought, oh my God, what I could do with, you know, that amount of money if I could actually put it someplace where I needed it.
Well,
that's a frustration we deal with counties way more than cities.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the budget, the overall total budget that flows through Health and Human Services for Shasta County each year, it's over $200 million.
Oh, yeah. It makes you crazy.
And I have lunch with Donnell Ebert once a month to talk about issues. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that Donnell doesn't have a lot of discretionary budget in that. He's told exactly how he has to spend it.
And you get reimbursed after the fact.
And a lot of times those programs don't, you know, they're decided on in Washington, D.C. or Sacramento, and they don't necessarily fit for, you know, Redding and Shasta County. So there's some challenges there. And we like to, you know, point fingers and other things. But the fact of the matter is that most of that money that comes in is very dictated by our other governments on how they don't – if they would just give it to the county and say, here's the money that gets passed down to you, do programs that work for your community.
Exactly.
That would be a lot better, but they don't do that, and they have to spend the money the way that
it's targeted. I remember when we first had a gang program in Shasta County, and I was on a statewide gang task force, when ours was just barely starting, and I worked diligently, went down there twice a month and all of the things. At the end of that whole program – they determined that they were targeting money towards Chicano gangs. And I said, but that's not what we have. We don't have Chicano gangs in Shasta County. We didn't get a dime out of that. And I'd spent a great deal of time going down there having input. We have such a small voice in what goes on, and one size does not fit all.
And if you
the
look
state
at,
is just too large to manage.
If you look at the federal grants that are available right now for law enforcement, you know, they all got to be tied to a research university. And they're research projects. They're not, you know, crime-fighting grants. They're not, you know, right now, everything coming out of the Bureau of State Community Corrections grant-wise is about rehabilitation program and services towards the offenders. It's not, you know, monies to hire cops to service communities and service victims.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the whole, you know, philosophy that's taking place in California right now, where it's not about enforcement. It's about services for I said this several years ago, and I'll say it again. I'm not sure when you know, criminals became clients and punishment became programs and services, but, you know, that is where we are,
it
and
is,
we're trying to adjust to that to the best we can.
Yeah, because there's just not money there for the victims or to hold anybody responsible for their – it's just all about the taking care of that population that's causing us all the problems.
Well, the argument is that, well, when you lock somebody up in prison or jail – you know, they're not really rehabilitating. No, but they're not victimizing anybody either.
That there's something to be said for that. We see, as I indicated, we've talked about this, and we keep building the argument for the state of Jefferson and getting away from this mess. Not sure that is ever going to be able to happen, but it certainly holds some promise and something to strive for in my mind. We can't continue to do the same thing we've been doing and expect different results. Well, someplace we have to be able to address the situation and change something that can really make a true difference in where we're going.
There's an article that they had us read for the War College called Wicked Problems, and it was a doctoral dissertation, and the executive summary is actually pretty good. And what they talk about is the difference between solving problems in science and solving social problems and making social policy decisions. Because science, you get to use trial and error to find out exactly whether or not your thesis was right. In social, you know, context, you have to take all the information that you have, make the best informed decision possible, and that could take decades to find out whether or not you made the right decision. So if you look at, you know, there was a lawsuit in the 70s that said you can't lock up people that are mentally ill just because they're mentally ill. They've got to have a crime attached. So, you know, Reagan, Jerry Brown, they all closed mental hospitals and put all these people on outpatient, and here we are 40 years later and we have a huge mental health problem and a lack of resources to deal with it. I think that California is going to find, and I think, you know, some of us that are reasonable see that this criminal justice experiment they're doing is not successful right now. But I think you're going to see this pendulum swing, and we see it swing back and forth in law enforcement between lock them all up and let them all go. And right now, the politics are way over to the let them all go side.
Well, let's just hope that pendulum starts to swing back the other way pretty quickly. But in the meantime, be responsible for yourself a little bit and recognize that government was never created to be all things for all people, nor should it be. See you tomorrow.
And as we have exited slightly early, a little bit of Johnny Cash here. You can stand me. I will take advantage of the moment to tell you that Community Talk Radio from the North State is AM 1460 KCNR Shasta Redding. The news brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better at the river.
And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground. Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason.
It was time for a fresh start at the FBI.
Vice President Pence defending President Trump's decision to fire FBI Director James Comey.
Director Comey had lost the confidence of the American people.
Pence says the president's already looking at possible Comey successors, and the vice president insists the decision on Comey has nothing to do with the Russia investigation.
That's not what this was about. The president took strong and decisive leadership here to put the safety and security of the American people first.
But on Capitol Hill, Democrats are slamming Mr. Trump for pink-slipping Comey.
The president hasn't made a public appearance.